Last time on This Paranormal Life!
An email came through the network, written by someone claiming to be a retired senior official in the Defense Intelligence Agency.
Roswell occurred, but not like the storybooks tell. There were two crash sites.
What about this recovered entity, the EBE-1?
EBE-1. Oh, ha, oh, ha, ha. And EBE-1 is like, I don't know how I got here! Is it cool if I crash here tonight?
Listen up, you little alien bastard. 12 a.m. here, the desert. You, me, peacetime.
From 56,000 candidates, we screened down to 12. These were the best of the best.
Do they have a cool name? Let's call them the Galactic 12. That sounds badass.
Okay.
Hey, welcome back to This Paranormal Life. This is the podcast where every week we dissect a different paranormal tale, case, or claim and get to the bottom of whether it is truly paranormal or not. You are listening to part two of a two-part series on Project Serpo.
Wow!
So if you'd like your stories to make sense, please go back and listen to last week's episode. As always, you're joined by myself, Kit Greer, this guy, Roy Pars. How are you doing today, Roy?
Howdy, howdy, everyone out there. I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah.
And I personally have been vibrating with excitement all week at the thought of finding out what's going to happen to the motherfucking Galactic 12, baby. I am so excited. I think we should make actual, like, our next round of merch should be like Galactic 12 NASA style crew jackets.
Got it.
So cool. I mean, really, pull out all the stops. No expenses spared here.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, that's going to be a real high tier on the Patreon because it can only be 12. And we're two of those.
That's a really good
point.
So
there's really only 10. So we're talking maybe $10,000, $20,000 for one of these things.
Yeah, of course. 10 shirts, $20,000.
We're talking today about the Galactic 12. You'll remember from last week, we learned through email from a group of ex-DIA agents called Anonymous that not only was there another crashed UFO at Roswell, but that a live alien was recovered, taught scientists to communicate with his home planet in the Zeta Reticuli star system, and coordinated an exchange of human astronauts and Ebens from planet Serpo.
I actually forgot about a lot of that other stuff. All I really remembered was the
Ryan Gosling in a jacket, which is honestly just drive at that point.
Like, this whole week I've been so excited. I've just been like, yeah, Galactic 12. And I forgot about the Ebens, did you say?
We should just watch Blade Runner after this.
We really should have the Galactic 1, as I call it.
We left off just as our 12 galactic explorers were boarding the Eben craft to leave Earth. We talked a little bit before about how these guys were the best of the best. The creme de la creme, the peng de la peng. But what did they actually go through to get here?
I'm going to go ahead and assume one guy was the dude who assassinated bin Laden. Like, one dude was, like, invented the gun.
I'm pretty sure one of them is Chris Kyle.
One is probably, like, a reanimated version of George Washington. Like, the original Patriot.
Maybe some of the others are just, you know, like, elite athletes with freak DNA. We're talking, like, Kobe Bryant is probably in there.
Like, his son's DNA mixed with that of a tiger put into a human body. Like, it gets really weird towards the end because they were like, oh, we've only actually got a few real American heroes. We need to start crafting them Captain America style. And then all the ones that, you know, where they botched and it kind of came out wrong, they're part of the Earthbound Six. Like, the ones that didn't make it, that kind of became disasters and just are in a bunker somewhere now.
No, you guys get an even better job of staying here on Earth. And if anything goes wrong here, we'll call you first.
Question. Mm-hmm. Why is our uniform a burlap sack?
Because you need to get the f*** out of here, you homeless bastard.
Kicks them out the front door of Area 51. It's like, what? Where do we go? They're like, guys, looking in the window, did you see, like, the Galactic 12, like, partying, champagne glasses, having the
best time.
Doing
keg stands.
Keg stands of space juice. Having the best time ever.
Vomiting everywhere. It's like, you guys need to get your stomachs used to space juice.
Yeah. Ding, ding. Are you guys still in there? And all you hear is like, there it is. Like a party scene, absolutely raging inside.
One of the colonels comes to the door, trying to like hold it together, even though he's drunk.
I actually, you know, I understand this is difficult for you guys.
Yo, is that the pizzas?
just a second, Christopher.
No, sorry. I know this is a difficult time for you guys.
Just a second, Ronald. It's Ronald Reagan. Anonymous said about the Galactic 12.
They went through very difficult training for 6 months, mostly at Camp Perry, Virginia. Each team member had to endure extreme psychological and physical training. In one training test, each team member was locked inside a 5-foot by 7-foot box buried 7 feet underground for 5 days, with just food and water. No contact with anyone else, in total darkness.
Oh my god.
Buried alive is what we're talking about here.
That's horrible.
4 of the team members who were pilots were taught to fly an Eben craft back to Earth in case it was necessary to escape from planet Serpo. I'm sure many of the UFO sightings back in 64 and 65 around the West could be attributed to these test flights by the Galactic 12.
Wow, that's super interesting.
It's a cool idea, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, people always say it could be like research, military tests. Those things could be genuine UFOs, but it could actually be a UFO recovered craft being tested by the military.
That's super interesting. Yeah, I've never heard of that explanation before.
Each team member also took a pill with them. The pill was standard issue for intelligence agents operating behind enemy lines. The pill could end their life if, for some reason, the Ebens turned out to be hostile.
The old cyanide tooth.
Selected team members even carried containers of liquid nitrogen. The Ebens were vulnerable to extreme cold, so if the Ebens turned hostile, the liquid nitrogen could be used to neutralize them.
Other members of the Galactic 12 were given knives, as the Ebens were allergic to being stabbed in the face and balls. Several had guns, for bullets were truly the Achilles heel of these majestic bastards. It sounds like they can just die like humans.
Regular humans. Yeah.
The team members were instructed to spray the substance directly into the face of the Eben.
And then smash it with a hammer.
EBE-1 was found to be vulnerable to this.
That's mad.
So that's how they know what they're vulnerable to, because they beat the shit out of EBE-1.
Oh, so the one that died? They just...
Yes.
Jesus.
They sprayed him with liquid nitrogen. As for weapons, each team member had a handgun and a rifle.
Okay.
They didn't know how much or how little they would need this. So they board the Eben craft, and the trip to Serpo took 10 months, despite being something like 40 light years away, Zeta Reticuli, I think.
Yeah.
Such is the technology that the Ebens have access to. During this 10 months, the astronauts experienced, quote, considerable discomfort. They were offered Eben food, but all agreed that it tasted like paper, and they stuck with the sea rations they brought along. I like to imagine that the sea rations were candy.
Yeah, Cheetos, Twinkies. Galactic 12 love their sugar.
Luckily, the team leader wrote about this voyage in his diary, so we do know a little bit about the second day on board.
We sat in the chairs, and a clear container was placed over us in the chair. We were isolated in this bubble or sphere. We could breathe okay and could see out, but we felt really dizzy and confused. I think I fell asleep or fainted. I'm sure this is another day, but my watch says it's only been 1 hour since we sat.
Already, flying through space at this velocity, getting some weird time dilation or contraction. They don't know how much time is even passing.
Right.
Eventually, the Galactic 12 were able to wander freely around the enormous ship. They were even able to communicate with Earth HQ using the alien comms device for the entire trip.
Cool.
Which is pretty badass. Like, I feel like we've all played enough video games where you get to wander around spaceship.
Your hub? Yeah.
Yeah, like, that sounds baller. That's got to be almost the most exciting bit of the trip.
Because how long is it going to take to get to...
I think I said 10 months.
10 months?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's like, hopefully, you're going to assume there's some ping pong tables in there.
To say the least.
They got some space beers, some weights, so the Galactic 12 can like stay jacked.
Of course.
As well, a bit of a prison yard vibe,
right,
in some areas,
yeah,
of the ship.
Not just like Millennium Falcon, like just chess. That was,
yeah,
all they had in the Millennium
Space
Falcon.
Space chess.
I mean, that's how you know the Millennium Falcon was never going for 10 months at a time.
Hell to the no. Obviously, Millennium Falcon was a ship that could do the nerdy little Kessel run in 2 parsecs.
I think you'll find if you watch the new Star Wars movie, it's not a nerdy little run.
Yeah,
okay?
It is.
It's pretty actually jacked and cool.
Oh, 2 parsecs. Fantastic. That's enough time to fit in several games of chess.
Han almost died. I'll have you know. It was a very close call.
Why? What, did the Wedgie almost kill him from the jocks at the Galactic 12?
Jesus, man. You're getting really invested in this. I think we should move on. So the Eben Kraft, 10 months later, lands on planet Serpo in the Zeta Reticuli binary star system. What do you even do when you land on an alien planet? Where do you even begin? This is like Neil Armstrong on the moon times a million. We don't even know what like the physics are here.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about the atmosphere. So right off the bat, the geologists and the team tried their best to map out the planet, deciding on north and south poles, mapping out quadrants of the land, seeing continents. Worked out as many of the basics as they could.
The planet's diameter is measured at 7,218 miles, surface gravity 9.6 meters per second squared.
Very similar to Earth.
Oh.
Rotational period approximately 43 hours.
You would be so pissed if you were in the Galactic 12 and you were like, "Welcome to our planet. Gravity, much like Earth, air is comprised solely of oxygen." You were like, "I spent 2 weeks in a in box buried in the ground. They launched me through the air."
Oh, actually,
in a bubble.
We live in boxes.
Oh,
that's good.
Right, that actually, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Even smaller than the one you were trained
no!
for.
No! Everyone go home to your boxes. You're not putting me back in the box.
And unfortunately, the temperature on Serpo is a permanent 107 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's where it changes
so
big time.
The Galactic 12 would be sweating their goddamn balls off for the entirety of their stay. They found a huge diversity of landscapes, arid desert regions, active volcanoes, areas of huge 3,000 foot canyons, where apparently they encountered an armadillo-type creature that was extremely hostile and had to be chased away with a sonic weapon.
Wow.
There were marshlands, areas of huge vegetation, forests of plants. The first such area they discovered in Quadrant 1, they named Little Montana.
So offensive. They're colonizing right off the ship.
Yeah, no, they didn't even ask what it was called.
Yeah. Like, welcome to our home, pound. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll call this America, too. It's like, that's not how this works. Call this Little America.
Little America. It's like, our planet is 50 times bigger than Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's shit, so it's little. The Ebens largely seem to live in the equator, but the team preferred to live in the northern hemispheres because the temperature was slightly cooler and closer to Earth temperatures. Also less solar radiation, which you kind of forget about when you go into space.
Always nice.
Far from being a barren wilderness, the team saw many types of animals. One they called the Beast, which was a bit like an ox and very hostile. And another that, quote, looked like a mountain lion. So a lot of hostile animals so far.
Yeah.
An angry armadillo, an angry ox, and an angry mountain lion. But the real story here is the Ebens. We know that there's a ton of planets out there, maybe even some with armadillos and beasts, but what we don't know is another planet with intelligent life. So what were the Ebens like? What is life like millions of miles away from Earth? The Galactic 12 recorded as much as they could, so I'll run through some of the basics with you.
Okay.
The Ebens live in a very simple society. The individual Eben family contained a male, female, and at least one child. Our team did find some families with as many as 4 children, but we later learned those families were caring for children of Ebens who were either traveling or dead.
Like a one-child policy.
The Ebens did not have a physiological need to release bodily waste as we did.
No butthole. You're speaking quite scientifically, so I'm translating for the common folk.
I appreciate that.
Cool.
The Ebens had small collection locations in the residence for their bodily wastes, but the Ebens' body was extremely efficient in processing all food taken in. Their body wastes were very small, similar to cat droppings.
Turbo organs.
Galactic 12, you'd get them some of those.
Yeah.
But our team members never saw any urine come from an Eben.
No ding dong.
On the other hand, our team members' waste consisted of bulk quantities of both feces and urine. The Ebens had to dig large waste reception sites for the Galactic 12's waste.
Which is absolutely hilarious. So embarrassing if you go to a planet and they're like, "I'm sorry, what comes out of you?" And you're like, "Oh, don't you guys poop?" And they're like, "No! Of course not! That's disgusting!"
It'd be, just be so weird to like get the tour of the house and be like, "Cool, all right, so one child, you guys seem like pretty chill.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you guys shit? Because we shit a lot, at least once a day."
What?
Yeah.
Dude.
You're like, "Well, I guess you could put it in this," and it's like a hole the size of a thumbtack. It's like, "That's not gonna work, bro.
that's not going to work.
Yeah, they're like, please, to our Eben toilet. And it's just like a goddamn teacup. It's a borderline Tupperware that lasts them for a month.
Yeah, and it's like, look, I've done shits bigger than your Eben son. We need to expand this bad boy.
So embarrassing that they had to create an entire waste facility.
Yeah.
I do like that idea, though. That kind of feels almost realistic, that even compared to other animals, that humans produce like almost a lot of waste. Like, we like pee like multiple times a day.
Well, it's also like these creatures are so different. You could go to them like, oh, like, kind of use the bathroom. And they're like, yeah, sure. And they just lead you into this room with an orb in the middle of it. And they just touch the orb and they're like, do you need to go? It's like, what do I do?
You touch the orb.
And just piss yourself. Yeah, I thought it was going to take it away or something. But such a dignified moment. You touch the orb. They're like, what smells like shit? Like, oh, I don't know.
I'm sorry. Is did it you one shit of you- yourself?
Is it one of you guys?
Did you guys not?
Yes, on Earth, we just do that. sort of a cleansing of the body.
The Ebens had a variety of food items. They grew vegetables. Our team found items similar to potatoes, but they tasted different. The Ebens had some type of white liquid, which we first thought was a form of milk. But after tasting it, our team realized it was different, both in taste and content. The liquid came from a small tree located in the northern portion of the planet. And in terms of language, humans could make the Eben tonal sounds, but you had to practice and practice and practice. It took a long time before anyone studying the Eben language could make the sounds. Some of the sounds were similar to high-pitched singing sounds.
Like we saw on Earth.
We did kind of call that.
The Ebens were extremely disciplined in their daily lives. They worked on a tight schedule, which was not by a clock, but by the movement of their sun. There was never complete darkness on Serpo. It got dim, but not dark. They had rest periods, but not like our sleep periods. Curiously, they didn't seem to use months or years either. They did, however, have life periods, as our team coined it. It was impossible to judge an Eben's age, although our team did find graves. They had leaders, but no real form of government. There was virtually no crime seen by the team. They had an army, which also acted as a kind of police, but no guns or weapons of any type were seen by our team.
Hand to hand. Bold.
They're jujitsu masters, that's why they didn't need any guns.
And they didn't seem to use money either. Every Eben was issued exactly what they needed. No stores, malls or shopping locations. There were central distribution centres where Ebens went to obtain items of need.
What I'm hearing from that is they're goddamn communists, basically.
Sounds like it. Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't just come down and be like, this is a US dollar. And then, like, within 10 minutes, like, the whole society's been upturned. There's, like, police brutality. Everyone's fighting over the dollar.
They open the first, like, strip club in Disneyland in the first 90 minutes of getting there.
Evens just flashing. People are having way more than one kid. They're just, like, having sex on the streets.
The Galactic 12 showed them how to have a good time, all right.
The Evens also had sex. Our team was able to witness births, too. Our team, while snooping around, was able to see the sexual activity of the Ebens. The males and females had similar sexual organs and performed intercourse somewhat like humans.
Hmm. Which is weird on the Galactic 12's part to be checking in on that. But yeah, I guess they were like scientific. They needed to know. You're not going to go there all that distance and not find out.
Well, obviously, one of the Galactic 12 was William Shatner, which the US hired after seeing him in Star Trek. And believing he was an actual space captain. And, you know, he's landed on a new planet. Yeah. He's kind of like schmoozing all the ladies, all these alien ladies. He's like, I got to do a little intimate research, if you know what I mean. And they're giggling. They're going, rah, rah, rah. Because I think that's how they giggle, right?
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
So he's like, oh, that's a good sign.
Everyone else is like, this is strictly against the Galactic 12 code. We are going to have to court martial and kill you if you carry through with this.
Listen. You know the motto of the Galactic 12. We fly together, we die together, baby. And they're like, you're right. Go do what you gotta do.
And on that note, one thing that I need to bring up, I know we love the Galactic 12. They're the best of the best. They're brave. They're adventurous.
You're about to badmouth.
But right off the bat, they are dropping like flies. I think one of them died before they even got to Serpo.
Why wouldn't you tell me this? My brothers!
Between the distance, the space travel, the planet's atmosphere, the food, the animals, accidents are gonna happen. This is the 60s as well. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, it's a miracle that we got guys to the moon and back and they didn't die. That's nuts.
Yeah.
But to get them 40 light years away and we don't know what's on the other end of that.
Yeah, Shatner didn't step foot off the craft. He died like 3 days into the thing when they realized he wasn't an actual space captain.
Of an even STD.
Our team witnessed an aircraft accident that killed 4 Ebens. The Ebens performed a form of ritual at the crash site. Our team members saw the sorrow in the eyes of the Ebens as they conducted some type of funeral. The Eben bodies were wrapped in a white cloth. Several types of liquids were poured over the bodies. When our first team member died in an accident, it was hard to communicate that with the Ebens. The Ebens must have understood something because they didn't attempt to help. They must have understood he was dead. However, once the Ebens saw one of our team members crying, they stepped in and tried to attempt some sort of medical care.
Oh. Because I guess they'd never seen crying before.
Right.
Which kind of makes sense. Like,
his eyes are broken.
We need to laser them shut.
Goes over with a ray gun. Blasts a hole in his head.
His head explodes.
And the captain's like, I know that was sad, but no one f***ing cry. Oh, good.
Nice.
Another tear, brother? No, 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 no.
Why have they learned to say brother?
Because it's all the Galactic 12 call each other.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, when we bottle up our emotions, it can start to affect us negatively. Sometimes it's important that we get stuff off our chest.
Tell me about it. I found a UFO in the forest, and now this thing is attached to my chest.
Jesus, that's an alien. Mm-hmm. All right, I was speaking metaphorically about dealing with emotions and talking about our feelings by using services like BetterHelp.
I don't need to talk about my feelings. This thing can read my mind.
Therapy can be a great way to set boundaries and become the best version of yourself. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You're saying they can get things off my chest, like Zonktar here?
Don't give it a name.
Maybe me and Zonktar can sign up for BetterHelp together.
Give it a shot, and whatever it is, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ParanormalLife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ParanormalLife.
One detail I found from research in this case is that the Ebens were not the only alien race present on Serpo. There were others. The Galactic 12 reported visitors from up to 9 other star systems, including Greys.
Wow.
They claim that the Greys, specifically, came from Alpha Centauri A. There were even mentions of hostile mechanical life forms. So we're talking like goddamn Star Wars cantina level of other species running around Serpo.
Yeah, a little hub where everyone just kind of mingles and has a good time.
It kind of makes sense. If these guys have got the capacity for interplanetary, interstellar travel, what's the likelihood that Earth is the first place they visited?
Yeah,
probably been to a bunch of other places close by. There is a massive amount written about the experiences of the Galactic 12, and we cannot cover it all here. It's said that the entire mission was disclosed internally afterwards in a 3,000 plus page report.
Wow.
And even the information that Anonymous alone provided by email was huge. What we do know is that the Galactic 12 lived on Serpo for about 10 years.
Oh my god.
Reportedly, because the Ebans lived on a planet with two suns, a 43-hour day, and a society that did not measure years or anything beyond days, really.
Yeah.
They quickly lost track of time.
Of course.
Not to mention, yeah, the whole kind of different level of, I don't know, gravity and physics when they were there meant that they had no instruments with which to measure time back on Earth.
Yeah.
So they tried their best, smart cookies what they were, but I think they were only supposed to stay for like something like two years.
2 weeks. It was a passing visit. They were supposed to show up, say hi.
The Eben party was too dope.
Yeah.
They come back to Earth 10 years later like, where the fuck have you been? We told everyone you were dead. It's like big red eyes from hangovers.
Yeah, it's like, please don't talk. I'm hanging like crazy. By the way, Shatner's dead.
The eight astronauts returned in 1978 and were debriefed for a solid year by the Air Force Office of Special Investigations. This resulted in the 3,000-page report. They were then released into civilian life. The last survivor of this brave and historic band of pioneers passed away in 2002. They had all absorbed massive doses of radiation while on Serpo, and it is believed that this shortened their lives considerably.
Price you gotta pay.
To party that goddamn hard. Curiously, they didn't all come back. Apparently, two of the Galactic 12s chose to stay on Serpo for the rest of their lives.
That's a pretty badass choice. I guess, didn't we say that when they signed up, like, they didn't have families?
Or... That's right. Yeah, they had nothing to go back to, really.
Yeah, so I guess, like...
Other than humanity.
If you're pretty sure the rest of your crew can go back and you're having a pretty dope time on an alien planet, I don't know. Maybe you would stay.
It's true. Also, like, the folks that went back didn't last that long. Well, they lasted, like, 20-odd years or whatever.
Yeah.
If you stay on Serpo, the thing is, they didn't even know how old these Ebans were. They're super advanced. They might have some crazy technology to keep you going for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I say that, but it's like one of the guys gets like 70 years old. He's got really high blood pressure. He's like, I need you guys to work that Eben medical magic on me. And they just like...
Start wrapping him up in the bandages. He's like...
come set to. Fire to him.
Yeah.
All we know is either the US or Planet Serpo ceased communications in 1985, and according to Anonymous, we haven't heard back since. So what are you thinking right off the bat just about hearing about the Galactic 12's journey to Serpo, what they got up to while they were there?
It's pretty far out there in terms of things. It's probably the maddest thing we've talked about on this podcast.
Yeah.
And we once talked about a half donkey, half woman ghost.
That's right. But at least that was on Earth.
Yeah. There's no rules in space. Everyone knows that. Yeah, one of the cool things was hearing about the way they bury bodies.
Right.
And it kind of sounded like a version of mummification.
Right.
And there's loads of links between like ancient Egypt and UFOs or
that's
like visitors
cool.
from the stars. It's kind of cool to see like a bit of that culture either like bleeding either way, like maybe... that kind of like influenced how the mummification process works on Earth, or maybe they got that if they came to visit years and years ago.
And that's something I actually haven't seen discussed online at all. So that's an interesting insight. And it is true. If the Ebans are real, we do not know how long they've been visiting Earth. Very
yeah.
likely that they visited during the time of the ancient Egyptians too.
Absolutely. Especially if you're showing up to this hub planet and there's like a whole hell load of species all hanging out here. They've been all over the place. They've probably been to Earth 2.0.
Yeah.
Where, you know, everyone mummifies everyone.
It's also funny to think of the things that alien civilizations might have gifted Earth that aren't as sexy or mysterious. The Galactic 12 get to Serpo and they uncover ancient ruins with hieroglyphs and they're like, are they vaping? It's
yeah.
like, oh yeah, yeah, we gifted vaping to Earth pretty early on, actually.
We incepted it in the mind of someone who's going to be born, and yeah, you guys have to thank us.
Dusting off more hieroglyphs. Is that a micro scooter?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys pretty much figured out regular scooters okay, but the micro scooter thing was all us, baby.
Yeah, it's like, anyway, let me like play some of our traditional music. That's dubstep, that's Skrillex. It's like, what? Oh, I guess we must have just been playing it on one of our ships when we came to visit.
The problem, of course, is beyond these emails from the XDIA group Anonymous, what proof do we have? Surely if this project, at least the same scale of the moon landing, took place, someone would have let it slip by now. Of course, throughout this story, supposedly the upper echelons of US government knew all about it. And whilst no one has said this publicly, supposed ex-government sources have leaked a transcript of a briefing that Ronald Reagan received regarding Project Serpo and the Galactic 12.
Wow. So is this like quotes from a document, or is this an actual scan of the document? Because what I was hoping for was like, you know, the scans of a transcript with, you know, the United States seal at the top, or like from the desk of the president, that sort of thing. Not a 10-page long alien fan fiction.
Hey.
Reagan was topless on the desk when the bodyguards walked in. So it is just fan fiction.
You said you wanted a gritty scan of some top secret shit.
You know what I want.
Feast your eyes on this.
All right, so Kid has handed me a laptop, which has, I mean, it is a gritty scan of a very military-looking document. At the top, it reads, Top Secret, Magic Eyes Only, which I assume is majestic.
So this is supposed to be direct to the president.
Right, right. What am I looking at here? What is this?
This basically discloses UFO-relating information. I assume this came through either Anonymous or their contacts within the intelligence community.
You've given me what I asked for. I gotta give you that much. I did want this exact type of document, so I can't complain too much.
It's almost as if I mocked it up right here and not. And if that isn't enough for you, there is more. We're talking about very high-profile figures. It's said that famed astrophysicist Carl Sagan was also involved in the final Project Serpo report, maybe as a consultant, and he may have based his best-selling book Contact on Project Serpo. This 1980s book deals with humanity meeting a far more technologically advanced race and includes all manner of science fiction devices, twists and turns. Was this a groundbreakingly original book from an academic, or a way of him bringing the knowledge of the Ebens into the culture of Earth? But he has talked about Serpo before. The fact that he went on to release this book, Contact, which, by the way, earned him the most money anyone had ever been given it for a book advance at that point.
You know how much it was?
I think it was $2.1 million in 1981, which is like, I don't know, a lot now.
Yeah, that's insane.
And he wrote it in such fantastical stuff about humanity going and visiting another alien species far more technologically advanced. And this is coming from an academic as well, not someone who would typically necessarily have an interest in writing science fiction.
Yeah.
And by the same thread, many link Project Serpo to Steven Spielberg. I'm sure some of the listeners at home will have heard the story I've just told you about Project Serpo, the Ebens, the Galactic 12, flying 40 light years across the galaxy. This is pretty much the story of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Steven Spielberg.
Is it? I actually haven't seen that movie. You're like, having read the synopsis briefly described on Wikipedia, I believe I have the authority to dictate what this movie is about.
Wait till you hear. So Spielberg himself wanted to get his story about intergalactic contact right. And after Jaws, he had some goddamn Jaws money lying around. So he wanted to get it perfect. He hired Dr. J. Allen Hynek as a consultant. This is an astronomer hired by the US Air Force.
Wait, I know who this motherfucker is.
Where did
Dr. J. Allen Hynek? This is the dude from Project Blue Book. Holy shit. He worked on Project Blue Book with the US government. This came up during the Cash Landrum case.
Here you go.
And then he basically stopped working for the government and was like, yeah, aliens are all real.
And this is who Spielberg hired to consult for Close Encounters
Bro,
of the Third.
Bro, that's so weird.
Kind.
Oh God, I hate that I recognized that name.
I didn't, I'll be honest with you.
Nice little bombshell right before the conclusion.
It's believed that Hynek told Spielberg about Project Serpo.
Oh, I wish you hadn't have said that name, because now I'm so on board for a yes.
And this is the weird thing. Spielberg was kind of tight with the White House. He was invited to the White House to screen his movie. And he actually was quoted as saying in an interview in the 80s, I believe it was, I really found my faith when I learned that the government was opposed to my film. If NASA took the time to write me a 20-page letter, then I knew there must be something happening. When they read the script, they got very angry and felt that the film would be dangerous. Why is NASA writing a 20-page letter to Steven Spielberg about this pie-in-the-sky science fiction movie after getting advised by Hynek himself.
I guess at a point where Hynek would team up with Steven Spielberg to talk about UFOs he'd seen working with the US military, he probably then wasn't that cool with NASA. They probably didn't appreciate him disclosing government secrets to right. Spielberg, a movie maker who was going to screen probably quite accurate depictions of those secrets to millions of people all over the world.
So I can feel it. You're on the fence right now. I've just pitched a fastball, freaking curved around your head, did a loop-de-loop and...
knocked me out.
Knocked your goddamn out. But I have some physical evidence, believe it or not. To begin with, here's a scan of some writing examples of the Ibn alphabet.
Okay. Can I be bold enough to ask where these came from?
Classified.
All right. Not the response I was looking for.
And it comes from anonymous. These are like leaked DIA goddamn scans.
It's hard to know what is what because there's no direct translation. There's way more than 26 symbols here, and some of them are just a squiggle. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say the majority of these are squiggles. That one's just a B backwards.
What, a D?
Yeah, it's just a D. That's a treble clef.
Hey, you know, great minds think alike. Maybe they discovered the same cool shapes as we did.
And you know what? However way this has been written and designed, there is some kind of form to it. Like, the busiest symbols seem to kind of congregate in one corner of this alphabet, and the rounder ones seem to be in line. The shorter, smaller lined ones seem to be kind of at the start. Like, there is something going on here. These don't just look like random symbols right. drawn on a page.
But the final piece that I'm going to show you is none other than a photo of EBE-1, the little intergalactic bastard that started this whole story off when he crashed his way into Roswell.
An actual Eben?
This came from an ex-intelligence officer, and it has been confirmed by two sources. Please find this photo of EB-1.
Wow. Wow, I mean, this is exactly what you think when someone says alien gray. This is a tall, alien-headed, shaped creature, big squinty bug eyes, tiny little nose, tiny little mouth, long neck, skinny body. It looks like an alien.
It's kind of nuts that this isn't a gray, apparently. This is a Eben.
Yeah.
You know?
It looks exactly like a gray.
What the hell's a gray compared to this? I don't know why it looks like PS1 graphics almost.
Oh, yeah, just awful.
But having shown you this, a photo of EBE-1 detailed the story for you right from the mouth of Anonymous, the ex-DIA agents. What are you thinking about Project Serpo?
It's been a bit of a roller coaster ride because, I mean, we went straight into this episode with landing on an alien planet, drinking tree milk, having sex with aliens on another planet, some angry armadillos trying to fight us and blasting them off with ray guns.
Yeah.
And then straight back to Earth, where the Galactic 12 are dying of radiation poisoning. UFO analysts for the government are actually talking with Spielberg, who's being invited to the White House to screen his films. And then we're looking at actual scanned documents, a supposed alphabet. You literally took us straight back down to Earth.
Yeah.
In the second half, where we're seeing the remnants of this mission and the Galactic 12. The problem is that evidence, these artifacts, enough to pull the weight of the other claims that Anonymous has made? I don't know. That is a heavy, heavy burden.
Yes.
A lot of information that I think, even if it was leaked, I'm not sure how he was privy to it.
It's an unbelievably fantastical story that requires really fantastic evidence to tie that all together. So the primary resource for this is a website called serpo.org, where they try to detail some of the evidence. I bring this up because I went to that page trying to find the silver bullet, something that would really make this believable. One of their reasons for why it could or should be true is that some of the calculations that Anonymous provided were approvably wrong. They were kind of saying, Well, if it was a hoax, they would make sure to get those numbers right, wouldn't they?
I guess.
Which seems like some incredibly backward logic.
Yeah, or it was a hoax, and that's why the numbers are wrong.
So there seems to be, from when I read their arguments for how this story makes sense, there seems to be a lot of bias.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're also acknowledging the spelling mistakes that you mentioned earlier in the episode.
So it leaves us in a sticky situation. If you have to come down on a hard and fast conclusion as to whether the story of Project SERP with the Galactic 12 is true or not, truly paranormal, what do you say?
If I have to come down right now based on what I've seen...
You do.
This week is going to be a no for me, unfortunately.
I spit out my drink over a...
What? It's just a little too fantastical for me to confirm as a yes. I think what I need to do in my own time and at my own leisure is really look into the life of the Galactic 12. Yes, part of me thinks they do exist, but there's also a part of me that thinks none of them died, Kit, and none of them came back. And those beautiful star-chasing bastards are still out there to this
you're
day.
You're shopping for jackets as we speak. You're on.
Yeah, obviously, because, you know, if one of them does die, there's always got to be 12. And hell, if I've already got the jacket, it makes it a little easier for
that
me to just
one
go, hey, kid.
Is pretty cool, actually.
I'm bringing you up to the big leagues.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Galactic 12. And I go, thank you, Mr. Shatner. They revived him. They found out how to bring him back to life.
Awesome. They couldn't save his dick, though.
No, it's gone.
Long gone.
So, yeah, a part of me does want to believe, but I think that's going to be research I'm going to have to do in my own time. What about you?
I think the sad thing about this story is that we've got as much evidence as we're going to get, in a way. Everyone who was ever associated with this is going to be gone soon. A bit like Roswell.
Yeah.
You know, just imagine for maybe a second that something as crazy as this did happen, and how wild it is that if you cover it up for the length of a human lifespan, it can be covered up forever, potentially.
Yeah.
But that all being said and done, we don't have enough evidence, it's going to be a no.
Well, that really took a harsh turn there. You know what? The only loose threads that could come back to unravel this story are the remaining two members of the Galactic 12 that stayed on Eben.
That's the only way we're going to find out, is if we can go to Zeta Reticuli, 40 light years away.
Yeah.
Find planet Serpo.
Exactly.
And try and track down William Shatner and whoever he stayed there with.
And that is why, folks, we are officially announcing our latest tier on the This Paranormal Life Patreon.
Woo!
$500 million to create some sort of spacecraft capable of hunting down the Galactic 12. Now, in that process, we will obviously be creating our own Galactic 12 kit, myself, and open to 10 other pledges to help us fund the ship. That we'll get you the jacket for free if you make the team, and we'll head off into the galaxy and find those lost threads.
We're really trying to get Elon Musk on board. We really think that he is the capital and the interest to get this going. You know, once he's done with this whole Mars project,
yeah,
I think he'll be really interested in Zeta Reticuli.
For sure.
That just about wraps it up for the investigation of Project SERP. What a ride. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have any of your own thoughts or experiences with Ebens, do send it in to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. As always, you can catch up with us on socials, twitter.com/thisparalife, facebook.com/thisparanormallife. And as usual, we don't run ads on the podcast, so the only way to support This Paranormal Life, if you're enjoying it, is through Patreon.
Our incredible Patreon.
Wow, can I just say.
Don't undersell it, Kit. These are our business associates, our future investors.
That's right, for just $2 a month, you can get equity in a fast-growing, lucrative commune known as This Paranormal Life.
We operate as a reverse funnel system, also known as the triangle scheme. Very different from what you think is a pyramid scheme.
But the reverse funnel is not yet illegal.
Exactly.
So let's call it that for now. For $2 a month, you can get a shout out right here in the pod. $5 a month gets you bonus content every month.
Oh, yeah.
If you just can't get enough paranormal investigations into your life. Most recently, we covered the case of the recent UFO sightings over Ireland by pilots. That one was pretty nuts. Had really hardcore evidence on that one, too.
Yeah, insane. Actual recordings.
And then $20 a month and beyond, you can get into merchandise and all sorts. So definitely check it out.
Galactic 12 jackets coming very imminently.
Another great way to support the podcast is by rating and reviewing us on iTunes. Helps us bump up the ranks, reach even more folks, and bring the podcast to more people. And keep growing this thing. And as always on the show, we like to thank the people who are pledging on Patreon to support the podcast right here with a special shout out. So thank you very much to Ryan Ferguson.
Ferguson, Fergus out, Fergus shake it all about. You do the Ryan Ferguson and give us a coin. And that's what it's all about. Ka-ching.
Oh, Ryan. We could go on forever, Ryan.
We really could. Especially with your support. Gee whiz.
Oh, he was the guy that dropped a mill.
Yes.
Wow, we should have thanked you ages ago.
Yeah, he's been giving us a mill a month for nigh on a year at this point. So sorry to get to you so late, bud.
It was kind of like we didn't really have a tier for it or any reward. And I asked him, I was like, do you want anything? And he replied, Shylock style, a pound of your flesh.
Right.
So unfortunately, Ryan, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But we will take your money. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Thanks also to Faye Pineda.
Fayday, we're going down. The ship is being overcome by love and support on Patreon.
Oh no! The ship isn't built to handle that kind of love and support. We're going down!
Arm the cannons to try and fend off the unquestionable support from Faye!
We accidentally destroyed her completely. Oh shit! We actually needed a lot of that.
Yeah. But hey, we learned from our mistake.
Exactly. Faye, thank you so much for supporting the show. You keep the coal in this engine.
Thank you also to Charlotte Callingham.
Calling all ham. This is your leader, Charlotte. Not a lot of people know that Charlotte, Dr. Doolittle style, can communicate with piglets.
Wow, just piglets. Whenever they grow up, they don't understand a word she's saying.
No,
yeah.
Much like human children, they tend to distance themselves from their parents as they mature. Like, she can still understand them, but as like teenage piglets, they're like, off, Charlotte. I don't need to live under your farm, your barn anymore. And they go out with all their little piggy friends and get high.
Totally. Yeah, they go out wearing like inappropriate clothing. And Charlotte's like, you can't go out looking like that. Come on back in the house.
Yeah, she's like, just put on this blanket. See, pig and blanket. Yeah, they're not having any of it, which is just heartbreaking. So we're so happy that we can, you know, take your mind off these distant little pigs in the form of a podcast, Charlotte. So thank you for your support.
Thank you also to James Trolley.
James Trolley, who obviously, as we know, was named James Trolley after he set the land speed record for riding a shopping trolley through a supermarket aisle.
Yeah, Jackass style. It was nuts.
Yeah, I think he topped out at like 100 miles per hour.
Insane.
Straight into a whole pile of baked beans.
It was in like a Texaco. It was nuts.
Yeah, like a little petrol station. Like legend has it, he somehow managed to gas up a trolley, which, you know, fair play. That's pretty badass. God rest his soul. He died as soon as he hit the tins.
Thankfully, left a little bit of coin to us in the old will. So cheers, James's family. And thanks lastly but not leastly to Niall Kane.
Our Egyptian prince who is king of the Nile.
We bow down to you, Sir Niall, as your humble podcast servants. We know that every king of Egypt needs podcasts to keep him entertained.
Of course.
We try to create podcasts befitting of a true pharaoh.
And we will worship you forever. At the end, he's like, yeah, I want to be buried with my favorite podcasters.
Oh no.
Shit. It's time to kill the pharaoh. We need to rise up.
The pharaoh's gone mad with power.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Niall. Sorry about the coup, Niall.
But thanks for the support throughout your reign. And thanks to everyone else who supported us on Patreon. If you haven't heard your shout out just yet on the podcast, it's probably because it's coming. If it's been a really long time and you pledged a long time ago and you haven't heard your shout out just yet, maybe just let us know. We try our best, but sometimes we do occasionally miss them. So do feel free to let us know. So that's it. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode. We will be back next week for yet another brand new paranormal tale. Remember to
live fast, investigate, and die young, baby!
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.